Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
And good morning. Good morning. This is actually hour number three. If you just tuned in, our first 2 hours is on another station, so that's okay. You can find us, though, at our website, lmclinic.com. If next Saturday you want to tune in a little earlier, go to lmclinic.com, push the podcast button at the top of the page, and boom, there you go. All four of our hours, live call-in hours, every Saturday morning, are listed out there. So you can start listening at 8 o'clock. And today, where's the fanfare? I should have drums or something here.
That's right.
We've got Dr. Samara Humat back in the studio with us. Where did you go? Well, the pandemic sort of struck. And it's been 6, 7, 8 weeks, what have you, but it's so nice to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
You're still not very close to me.
That is right.
We're still a little distant here.
Actually, you noticed that Samara and I are only a couple, two or three feet apart. Well, and you are way over there, away from us.
That's because I'm old and feeble.
And a wuss.
No.
Anyway. Jokes apart, I want to say the clinics have been open.
Oh, of course, the clinics are open. When you come into any of our longevity medical clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, of course, in Kirkland, I don't know why my phone was ringing. I had it on silent, but it's still ringing.
That's your
there.
Watch, isn't it?
Well, I know, but it's supposed to be connected. I don't understand. Sorry about that. We take your temperature. And we ask you a bunch of questions like that, so it's not a problem. We've been seeing people all day, every day. In fact, we are seeing a record number of people for the free health analysis appointments.
Yes, we are. And they're, you know, getting a mask. Their temperatures are being checked. They're answering a questionnaire. The staff is being very careful. They are meeting with the health advocates, and then if they choose to have their blood draw, then they stay to have their blood draw.
Yeah.
For all other patients that are currently clinic patients, a huge shout out to each and every one of them. They're super duper, such a joy to talk to them. We're still talking. We're not seeing them. They come in just for their blood test, quick in and out. They know their appointments. They know what to do. The same things. The MA see them. They have their blood test, and then they leave. And then we review their labs by phone. And it's just been wonderful to talk to them. There's so many wonderful stories. Yes, there are stressors, and we help them deal with that because clearly the other doctors have not been as accessible. But now everything's opening back up.
Oh, yeah.
We are sending them whichever way they need to go. People are going, getting things done are important.
And there's really some good news. And we're so busy because, again, generally speaking, people are starting to realize this is a freaky good time to get serious about your health.
That's right.
I mean, come on.
That's right. I'm getting thank you calls and thank you notes from people. And we have some team members, some of our patients, that are at the front lines in the hospitals working and taking care of others that are sick. And then we have others that are retired and are home. But by far and away, the major story is people are healthy. They're not scared. If they have been sick, they have recovered. recovered, and the vast majority have not been sick.
In fact, let's just talk about that. We started off a couple of hours ago with the latest CDC numbers, which are very encouraging, Jerry. I think we've probably got mostly a new audience here on 570 KVI.
You're hinting that I should pull up the CDC.
Well, I think you ought to, because this is, with all of the fear-mongering, especially by some of the crazier governors in the land that are still just doing everything they can to scare the daylights out of everybody, even children, I think it would be appropriate to get the facts. And that's what we're proud of here on Leading Edge Medicine. We don't necessarily care so much about the consequences of the facts. We will give you the facts. And I think our listeners need to hear them. So you got those. I know you're pulling
actually
up.
I'm looking for them right now. So,
well, again, let me just say this while we're waiting for him to figure that out. Let me just share that all the lines are open right now, and it's Memorial Day weekend. So normally I would say, on big weekends like Memorial Day weekend, July 4th, Christmas,
Thanksgiving,
those kinds of things, our audience shrinks like crazy because they're out traveling. Well, not so much today. Mm-hmm. Not so much. So you're out there, but we've got all the lines open right now. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a question, we're going to take a lot of calls in the next 2 hours. Doesn't have to be about the virus. Can be about anything. In fact, we took very few questions. In fact, I don't think we took a single question about the virus specifically. In the last 2 hours, we had vertigo, heart stents, blood clots, osteoarthritis, fever and chills, body mass index, vitamins, a female, very complicated female
pain,
issues.
Back pain.
We had Dr. Dan Nelson on. Oh, my golly. That was really good. Cancer, all kinds of things. So anything goes. Whatever is bothering you, maybe you need a second opinion. Maybe you are paying the price for this shutdown and this fear-based thing that has kept you from going to the doctor, and you should have gone. Well, maybe you need a little encouragement right now. You need to call. Here's the number, toll-free number, 1-888-312-5757. It's 1-888-312-5757. As I said, anything goes, just call. You call right now, you'll be up first. 1-888-312-5757. You getting a little closer there with the numbers. I bet you remember them. I know your memory. You probably.
But I like to have them in front of me before I give them to people. But yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me see what I can do here.
Well,
CDC just came out with a new one. I found these over breakfast this morning, actually, and I had them up. And it looks like in the process of searching for some of the other stuff, I erased it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Center for Disease Control has come out with a whole brand new set of survival numbers, and they are very reassuring. What they're basically telling us is that, first of all, we don't know exactly how many people have caught the virus. Studies are showing anywhere from 2% to 20% of the population when we do the antibody tests turn up to be positive. 20% was in the Bronx, in New York City, where the virus was rampant. 2% was in Los Angeles. So most of the European studies are showing 15 to 16% of the population is probably positive. But of those people who actually catch the virus, somewhere between 35 and 50% of them will have no symptoms. No symptoms at all.
Nothing.
Yeah, so you've got anywhere from 35 to 50% chance that if you get the virus, you will not even know it. You don't get sick, you don't cough, you don't run a fever, you're certainly not going to die, you don't even get a sniffle. But of those people who do get sick, looking at survival is fascinating, because what they're finding is that if you are under the age of 50, your chances of dying, if you get symptoms in the first place, are about 5 in 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
Or that'd be one in 2,000. So
yeah. So 2,000 people who get symptoms, one will die.
Yeah.
Okay. And half the people who get the virus won't get a symptom. So it's actually more like one in 4,000 who get the virus will die.
That's right.
Yeah. If you are between 50 and 65, then it gets a little bit worse. Now you have about two chances in 1,000 of dying. So not much of a risk. And once more, if only half the people get a symptom, that means if you're in that age group, your chances, assuming you get the virus at all, is about 2 in 4,000.
Yeah.
So, then if you are over 65, your risk comes up to about 1.3 per 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, small percentage are going to get the virus to start with. Those who get the virus, between a third and a half, will get no symptoms. Of those who get the symptoms, 1.3 in 1,000 will die.
Mm-hmm.
That really is terribly reassuring.
Boy, no kidding.
Now, you get high risk if you're in your 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And because most people in their 80s have other underlying diseases.
Right.
They're developing heart disease, diabetes, they become significantly obese, they've got inflammatory processes, they have lung diseases, God forbid they're smokers or heavy drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Those people account for nearly 50% of the deaths.
That's right.
Okay.
So really, the odds of you getting this at the grocery store or what have you is really
Well, and slim. And then the other factor is, are you in a super spreader situation?
Yeah,
let's
that
talk
was
about
important.
That.
Yeah,
especially when the president is talking a lot about opening churches.
Yes, he's saying that churches, and I have some conditional concerns about his opening. And I'll explain those conditions, but let me explain what a super spreader situation is. If you are in an enclosed room and people who might have the virus are breathing heavily, they're singing or they're shouting or they're exercising or they're dancing, if they are doing physical activity that is making them breathe deeply and heavily, they are kicking out a lot more of the virus than people that are just sitting around or talking or buying groceries. And because you're in an enclosed room with a lot of people, that virus is hanging in the air like a miasma. And you tend to be there for an hour or two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And so the number of virus particles you will inhale in that situation is dramatically higher than you would get at the grocery store.
So you're talking about maybe a church, but you're talking like a sporting event.
Uh-huh.
Sporting
concerts.
Events, bars, concerts, dances, gymnasiums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in a gym and everybody is running and puffing and grunting and lifting and pushing, that's a super spreader risk. People that catch the virus in that setting tend to get a lot sicker. Just because they are loaded,
they take
a lot more viral particles into their system and overwhelm their immune system.
So you're walking through the grocery store and maybe pass somebody.
The number of viral particles you will pick up casually walking by someone who is also casually walking, very tiny.
That's right.
And your own immune system
will handle that.
We'll take care of that.
Vast majority of the time, if you get any viral particles in that setting, your immune system will jump on it, and you'll be one of those people who you caught the virus, your immune system suppressed it, you made antibody, you never got sick.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The real sick people are the doctors, the nurses, the technicians, the people that are working with super sick coronavirus people that are coughing and hacking. And heaven forbid, you're that poor doctor who has to put a scope down into their trachea so they can breathe. You're just inhaling straight coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
In that setting, even young doctors and nurses can die just because of the amount of virus they get.
The load.
But if you're out walking on the trail, mm-hmm. if you're at the store, if you're simply shopping, the number of virus particles you will get will be very small. Your chance of illness will be very small. Now, my concern about the president's pronouncement yesterday that religious services are essential. I agree. Religion is essential. people who have a set of religious beliefs that they adhere to tend to be happier, healthier, better balanced, have higher quality of life.
Live longer, everything.
Yeah, it is wonderful. However, if you are a charismatic Christian and you go to a religious service where it is enthusiastic and people are singing and shouting and dancing, and you're in a super spreader situation, that form of religion worries me from a medical standpoint. If you're a Quaker and you're sitting in a circle and you wait to see if anyone has something to say and they'll stand up and speak quietly and sit down, virtually no risk. You're a Buddhist. You want to go and you're kneeling for a long time and you light your joss sticks, and very low risk. You're a Presbyterian, low risk. I only worry about, Presbyterians are calm, quiet sort of services, very dignified. not that I have much use for dignity, but so my one concern is the very enthusiastic religious.
Well, for example, services. I have a very close friend, met with him for years every week, mm-hmm. For coffee with a group of other guys, mm-hmm. In the choir at our church. He died of the coronavirus right down the street here, and six others got it in the choir.
In the choir, because
they're up there.
And they're singing, and they're close together, and they're breathing deeply, and they are just spraying viral particles like mad when they sing. Yes. So, again, generally I approve of the way that he has handled this. He has done whatever we thought was true at the time, although we now know most of the stuff he said early wasn't true, but everybody thought it was true
at
the time.
That's what Fauci and everybody was telling us.
That was the scientific, wisdom of the moment. And what I hope this teaches the whole country is that scientists and experts are not deities. They're frequently wrong. And they say what they say with great, gravitas, and everybody believes them, but that doesn't make it true.
Yeah.
initially, this was a zoonotic disease. You could only catch it from animals, right? Only the people in the wet market could catch it. And then, other people could catch it, but it was very low risk, and we weren't going to get it in America. And so nobody did much preparation because that was what the experts were saying. Mm. And then the pendulum swung the other way. Now all of a sudden it's highly contagious, and 3.5% of everybody that gets it's going to die. My God, we're going to have 2.2 million deaths in America. And so we shut everything down. Mm. And now we know none of that was true. You don't just get it from animals. It does, too, come from America. It is spread person to person. But it is not 3.2% of us are going to die. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of us are going to die. And it's mostly going to be those in super spreader positions or those with extremely poor immune systems, like people who have underlying cardiovascular disease and diabetes and pulmonary diseases. And so the pendulum has kind of swung back. Mm-hmm. And what the revealed truth from science is today is not what it was a month ago.
Yeah.
And wasn't a month ago, wasn't what it was the month before that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit more about science and how science and truth based upon science can shift. And what you just said, true based upon the science.
The most important thing I learned in science was from a Nobel Prize winning professor of mine who's teaching organic chemistry, who said, a good scientist is as willing to change his opinion as he is his underwear.
True.
Now, there's a truth for you. All right. Hey, we've got a bunch of calls. We're going to talk just a little bit more about that when we come back and then take those calls. Don't go far.
I, too, am a clinic member, and what really started me going to the clinic was I'm not feeling so hot. I will budget for the rest of my life to be in your clinic. Thank you so much for everything.
Ooh, you come on like a dream. Peaches and cream, lips like strawberry wine.
Oh, he's talking about me.
Yeah.
You're beautiful and you're mine. You're all ribbons and curls. sunshine.
You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine.
It's so interesting because I hear some of these wild-eyed fanatical governors saying that we are going to follow the science. And it just reminds me of what...
They're following the science from 3 months ago.
Yes. It's like they made a commitment and they're afraid to change because they might be embarrassed or something.
Well, no, they're following the version of the science that fits their political agenda.
Oh, well, that's true. These dorks.
You know.
Yeah, okay. That's right. It is kind of interesting what side of the aisle all of the crazies are on.
But you've got a version of the science that'll fit any agenda you want.
That's right.
Because it has changed so dramatically over the last several months.
Well, I've heard you say this. I've heard other doctors that we've had on here mention the statistic that doctors are told either when they go to med school or when they graduate that 50% of what they learned may not be true.
But with a new virus that we have never before seen on Earth that has just made the jump into human beings, that transition is not 5 years. It is now weeks, you know, because we're learning about the virus. And as we learn about the virus, if you're honest, you keep changing your mind based on what the new indications are. We now know this virus is much more contagious than we originally thought, but it is also much less deadly than we originally thought.
Yeah.
And who it kills is quite different. It kills us old folks, especially us old folks if we are fat, diabetic, with cardiovascular or lung disease. Mm-hmm. It almost never kills children. Children are far more danger with a bicycle than they are going to school. Okay? They're not going to die of coronavirus. Because if you're willing to give your grandchild a skateboard or a scooter or a bicycle, you've just put them in far more danger than coronavirus. So, you know, relax. The new bugaboo is the multi-system inflammatory syndrome.
Right. Yeah.
Which, you know, up until a few months ago, we called Kawasaki disease.
That's right. Very rare, too.
Very rare. There have been less than 200 cases on the planet of the coronavirus associated. And three kids in America have died. Three. It's kind of hard to shut the whole school system down for three kids. I can guarantee you more than that have been killed on their bicycle in the last year.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
All right. Well, interesting and I would say encouraging statistics. So, yes, be careful, but don't be a wild-eyed, crazy hermit for the rest of your life.
No. No. You know, if you're 85 and you have heart disease and lung disease, yes, please, social distance, stay at home because you are at risk.
Yeah.
If you're 40 years old or you're 30 years old, you're 27 years old, go out and go to work.
Yeah.
You're not going to die. You're not even going to be very sick.
Let's go to Olympia and talk to Billy. Hello, Billy. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Bill.
Thank you.
Go ahead. How can we help?
Oh, yes. I'm calling about the stem cell procedure. And mm-hmm. what I want to know is how long does the stem cell procedure last, or will the pain return?
Depends. What they're doing is they're taking mesenchymal stem cells out of your bone marrow. They purify them. They inject them into the joint that has been damaged or the ligament area. And those stem cells, we now don't even really call them stem cells anymore except to the general public. Okay. They are medicinal secreting cells. They kick out a series of exosomes and acellular vesicles that are anti-inflammatory and that help you to grow new tissue. And so they can actually stimulate your cartilage to grow and repair and heal. And, you know, if it does a good job of that for you, you may buy 5, 10, 15 years of improved function and decreased discomfort in that joint.
And by the way, that's about how long a new knee joint will last.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except this is a whole lot less trauma. It's just a needle stick as opposed to sawing your bones apart and putting in an artificial joint.
Mm-hmm.
So it is fast, it's easy, it is very inexpensive compared to surgeries. And in about 70 to 80% of the time, people get good results.
Yeah.
But we're back to, you know, one of Dr. Mixon's aphorisms, which is nothing done to or by human beings is perfect.
Yeah.
It doesn't always do the job. And many people will get improvement without complete resolution. Mm-hmm. Other people will get complete resolution.
Dr. Dan Nelson, who we had on about an hour ago here, points out, he's been saying this for years, about 75% of knee replacements mm-hmm. could be handled by stem cell.
Yes.
And he certainly proved that with my low back, not my knee, but my low back, mm-hmm. which I was told nothing could be done about it. And stem cell was just like a magic potion for me. So
now, I would do a word of warning. There are many people out there advertising stem cells that are not really stem cell therapies. They are frozen secretions from umbilical cords and so on. They may well have exosomes and acellular vesicles, but they don't have viable stem cells in them because stem cells are very fragile, and if you freeze them like that, they will die. So, you know, you don't do that. If you're going to do stem cell therapy, it should either be your own stem cells taken from your bone marrow or from your fat pad. And the two different types of stem cells, the adipose versus the marrow, are good for different purposes.
Well, here's the problem, and there's seems like dozens of chiropractors in the greater Seattle area have taken a weekend course and now consider themselves to be stem cell experts, and they're telling patients, oh, well, if you're 60, 70 years old, your stem cells are too old.
Yeah, not necessarily true. It depends.
Mine weren't.
Yeah, it depends on the 60 or 70-year-old. And it depends on how many stem cells you put in and what you're trying to accomplish. You know, it's true. Your stem cells and my stem cells, Pete, are not nearly as good as they were when we were 20.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're wearing out. We don't have as many. The mesenchymal stem cell resides at the junction between the arteriole, the smallest little tiny arteries, and the capillary.
Mm-hmm.
So right at that junction where the artery turns into a capillary is where that stem cell is at. As our capillary beds are thinning out with age, as we're losing vascularity in our tissues, we are losing stem cells. And the stem cells we do have don't have as many mitochondria. They're not as metabolically active as they were in our youth. Nevertheless, they're a whole lot better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good enough when you're putting them into joints to work pretty darn well.
Oh, and, no kidding.
And the richest source of stem cells in an older body is bone marrow, because that is a very active, it's still making red blood cells, it's making white cells, it's making platelets. It is a very metabolically active tissue. So extracting that bone marrow is where we get a really rich source of relatively healthy stem cells, which is why Dr. Nelson likes to use that.
That's right. That's what he did with me. I was just laying on the table. He took them out of my hip mm-hmm. and spun them down and whatever he did with the PRP, right?
Yeah. Added PRP. Yes.
Added PRP, yeah. Platelet-rich plasma, uh-huh. and then put it into my low back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what I would like to see happen, and it is not through the FDA yet. Maybe, though, with Mr. Trump's deregulatory fervor, he will loosen up regulations enough we can actually do what I think needs to be done. When you take an older person's stem cells out, there's about 6 or 7% of those stem cells still have their youthful morphology. They're still spindle-shaped with intense numbers of mitochondria, and they grow rapidly. And those are actually probably the ones that are doing most of the job
mm-hmm.
When you put them in a joint. It's that small percentage that still maintain their youthful morphology. I would like to be able to take the stem cells out of us older folks, isolate that fraction that have the youthful morphology, amplify those in the laboratory by 100,000 times, and re-inject those back into you.
Interesting. Bottom line, Billy, I'm afraid we've got to go. We're late again for a break. Dr. Dan Nelson in Totem Lake. deals with all kinds of pain issues, but stem cell is right up his alley, believe me. You can call for an appointment, 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000. Good idea. And we'll be back before you know it.
I'm a relatively new longevity patient, and I've been thoroughly impressed with how thorough the process is.
Mitch Ryder, love him. Oh, don't pull down the music now.
No.
Come on, we're dancing here.
All right. Thank you. All right. That's okay. My youth coming through. Welcome back. I just wanted to point out
But you notice he didn't dance.
That's right.
Well, just you and me.
Right. Come on. My wife complains about that, too. But that's okay. Hey, we do still have the health analysis appointments. I announced last week we only had about 20 available through June, through the third week of June. Well, now we have about 5 or 6 available in each of our clinics through the third week of June. And they are available on a first-come, first-served basis. So this is just a quick reminder because they'll be gone probably by the end of the day or by tomorrow. And so you're going to want to go. Now, I am, and I announced this a couple of hours ago, I am going to open up by Monday. I'll have the fourth week, the last week of June. Those appointments will go on, probably another 5 or 10 in each of the three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. So here's what you do. We are still doing, it's still free. We're still giving the two tests, the blood and the in-body. And those are free so that you'll get a good understanding as it relates to what some of your basic health risks are. Critical. We're also still giving away the free mask, the N95 mask, and $100 of longevity supplements. And so what a bargain. And that's if you come in through June now. Okay. So, if you want to get the earliest ones, and again, unfortunately, you got to wait 3-4 weeks to get in, but you're going to want to do that. And you just simply make that appointment on your own online by going to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com.
Perfect time to do it. You know why?
Why?
As I'm seeing all of our patients come through and their blood tests, a lot of them have their A1Cs just creeping up just
a
tad.
What is it, junk food from all the...
Well, yeah, but they're starting to cook more at home, and bread baking at home is becoming a hobby.
Serious?
So many people are doing it.
You cannot get bread flour in the store.
Not
they're
only that,
sold out.
You can't find yeast anywhere either. And flour is, people are baking a lot. And so I'm seeing those triglycerides creep up. The fasting glucose is creeping. And yes, they're exercising. They're all going for walks. That's all they can do. They're not going to any gyms. And those that don't have weights at home can't. Actually, people have been appreciative of the bands we've given away because they're using them now.
Yeah.
But I keep saying, okay, so let's talk about bread or alcohol or what have you. And sure enough, well, you know, doctor, you're mad.
It's alcohol. Yes. Sales are up 50% since the pandemic.
And so you may feel like, yeah, everybody's a little stressed, sure. But you may think you're doing great, but don't lose the opportunity to just find out how you're doing.
That's right. So, again, those free health analysis appointments, they're at a premium, and you're going to have to wait a few weeks. But please do it. We literally won't go into all the details. We made some major shifts with staffing and scheduling and stuff so that we could accommodate the influx. And because people are waking up, this is the time to get healthy.
Yes.
So people are realizing they've procrastinated and now they're going to do something about it.
I can't tell you enough how important it is to invest in yourself right now. I get thank you calls and thank you notes from my patients all the time. Other doctors are sending us emails about what their patients are saying to them and how grateful they are and how appreciative they are. And just taking care of yourself while you're healthy is very important, much better than waiting to get sick before you start taking steps.
That's right. So, again, go to lmclinic.com. Push the button there to make an appointment. It's easy to do. I promise it is. And, again, it's on a first-come, first-served basis, so do it soon. Do it literally right now. Okay, lmclinic.com. Okay, let's go to Tacoma and talk with Paul. Paul, we're glad you called.
Hello, Paul.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Yes.
Just taken early. I'm 58. My parents are 83 and 84. I have a underlying heart condition. And I've heard that in India, they're giving it to all the doctors and nurses, and they're not having doctors and nurses that, and they give it to anybody that goes into a clinic and they so much as have a sniffle. They're handing it out like...
I can vouch for that because I'm in touch with some of my physician friends that work over there. Remember, though, that hydroxychloroquine is used for malaria prophylaxis in India as well. So a lot of people have probably used it at some part in their life just for fever symptoms to prevent malaria. And if you've ever traveled to India or any of those countries where it's endemic, your own physician would have prescribed it for you before you go so that you don't get malaria.
Or if you go to Africa or the Amazon, you're going to be getting your hydrochloroquine.
Yes.
And it is a good prophylaxis for malaria, but it also appears to be a pretty darn good prophylaxis for the COVID virus. There is a retrospective study, not prospective, but the National Rheumatology Society. It has been going through the medical records of hundreds of thousands of people that have things such as scleroderma or lupus or rheumatoid arthritis and have been on this drug for years and years. So we have millions of patient years that they've looked at. And what they're looking for is to see what is the instance of COVID-19 infection among those people that are taking this for other reasons. And it turns out the incidence of infections is almost non-existent. Extremely rare that someone taking that drug for their other autoimmune diseases gets COVID. And normally, of course, somebody with autoimmune disease is exactly the one who would not only get the disease, but would die from it.
Yeah,
and
making the statistics even more impressive.
Yes. So it does appear, at least in the big retrospective study, to be a protective drug. There are studies being done in which it has been given to very sick hospitalized people. Doesn't work. It is not a good drug to take if you are very sick with COVID and you have to be hospitalized. On the other hand, in the small outpatient studies, in people that have mild disease, they seem to get well faster. Now, those people are going to get well anyway, but they get well a few days faster. So it seems to be protective to keep you from getting it, and it seems to shorten the course of a mild illness. It's just not for people that have serious illnesses. In fact, they tend to do worse with it. So, you know, you don't use it for that. I've seen articles where the press is very incensed that Donald Trump is taking it as a protectant. And I'd say, no, Donald Trump is exactly the guy who should take it. Based on his last physical exam, he meets the qualifications to be morbidly obese. He is a man in his mid-70s with morbid obesity, and he works in the White House where several active cases have been identified. That puts him at extremely high risk of catching and dying from the disease.
So he's not the idiot of his political opponents.
If he were my patient, I would prescribe the drug for him in that situation.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, now, Am I taking it? No, but I don't see COVID patients. In fact, I don't see patients at all these days. I do my work at the computer and here on the radio. But, you know, if I were being exposed to them, and I, by the way, I do know physicians who are working in hospital settings where they are exposed, and most of them are taking it. In fact, the big shortage of that drug in America came out because probably every doctor in the country, or at least three out of every four doctors in the country that were at risk because of their patient population, started taking the drug.
Well, doctors were prescribing it too at that time. Until then, yes. The medical board started sending out letters and saying, stop it.
Yeah, and they didn't want him to write it because there wasn't enough going around. But the fact is, every doctor wanted it for themselves and their family. And so now the newspaper, newspaper people, of course.
Are they going to be making more?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure they are.
They're churning it out as fast as they can. Sure. But the vast majority of it is made in India and China. We don't make it in America. So, and guess what? The countries that make it want to keep it for their own people. So yeah. We do have limited amounts of it in the United States.
It just has been sad to see the politicization of the drug. It just disgusts me. But
I know if Trump said he liked pancakes, it would be racist and homophobic.
That's right. Pancakes are racist. That's right.
What are the odds that I'd be able to get some?
Well, again, what are your risk factors? You know,
I have heart disease and my parents. So I wanted to get some for my parents.
But again,
I have heart disease. And
I understand. Again, Trump's thing is he's working in a setting where several people, including his personal valet, turned positive. Okay, so he has been exposed to the virus. You and I have not, that we know of. So, but you know, you need to talk to your primary care physician, and you explain your risk factors. And if he believes you're at sufficient risk, he can write the prescription. I'm quite sure there's a pharmacy around here somewhere that has it, because once more, anybody and everybody that is going to high malaria areas fills that prescription. You know, when I was working in the jungles, I took it regularly. So,
keep that in mind, Paul, but thank you for the call. That is good. We're actually skipping the break here because we got late and what have you, and we've got too many people on hold. So let's just go to another caller. Let's go to Tukwila right now and talk with DJ. Hello, DJ.
Good morning. Good morning. I am curious if you can help a condition I've got, the Viking's finger, or what they call Dupuytren's contracture. My ring finger just doesn't want to relax. It's in the right angle position. I can force it back. But, you know, for 50 years, I wore a gold wedding band on there. And on the week of my 50th anniversary, I lost the gold wedding band, got a silver one. And it's been 7 years since then. And I wondered if there was any coordination between those symptoms, because it always seems to affect the ring fingers.
I am interested about the lumps on your head where your wife beat you about the head and shoulders for losing your wedding ring. But
it was while repairing our car, so it was well motivated. But there is a few lumps there, I'm sure.
Yes. That is a piece of jewelry that the wise man does not lose. But all right. Okay, if you can straighten the finger, that tells me that you're halfway there, because the contracture is not so bad that the finger won't straighten. So good. Start physical therapy. And I'm going to turn you over to Dr. Umat, because she is the physical therapy expert in this team.
Well, so it's a chronic condition, like you were saying. You know, it happens slowly over time. But with time, what happens go ahead.
I was amazed at the number of people who find it's genetic. I have Scandinavian ancestors on both grandparents' sides, so they make calling it Viking's fingers made sense. But I wonder if I have to warn all my relatives about this too.
But you know, the issue is that the tendon sheath is contracting. It is inflamed initially, it's contracting, and it's just not letting that finger extend out fully, so it wants to come back into the flexed position, which is that 90 degree angle that you're saying. There is no conserve. I mean, you can keep massaging it, you can keep stretching it out, but eventually you're going to have that tendon sheath repaired. And they can fix it so that it doesn't then contract on you, because this can affect your function. So once it gets so tight, you will not be able to use your hand as efficiently, opening jars, holding things, that kind of effect. Yeah. So when function is limited, then it becomes harder. So you want to maybe have somebody take a look at it sooner so they can plan and do it before it becomes a real issue.
You know, if you catch this early, the physical therapy and the stretching and the massage appears to slow the progress.
Yes, it does.
But it doesn't really fix the problem.
Yeah.
And so if you want to fix, it's a surgical.
And then my patients who've had the surgery, they've kind of stayed on our relief factor before and after. And their outcome after the surgery with relief factor has been absolutely dramatic. You know, the inflammation subsides. They really do very well postoperatively. But I have sent them for surgery because this won't go away on its own.
Well, I've used the relief factor and I didn't notice any difference. And I thought, well, Dr. Mixon must have a secret potion stashed in his drawer that I can rub on my hand and not have surgery.
I wish I did, but no. Fortunately, this is a condition I've suffered from.
So. No, have your surgery and then keep taking the relief factor.
That's right.
Thank you, DJ. Appreciate the call. Have a good day. All righty. Let us go to Seattle and talk to Paul. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hello, Paul.
Just made my appointment. So, you know.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Been meaning to do that for a while. I think you guys provide a great service. I just want to mention a couple of things. If you think you already had the virus, which I think I did in January, I work at the airport around all sorts of international stuff. And and I got a different kind of sick in January. I'm 62, but it knocked me for a loop for about 4 days. That was before they were calling it this thing, the COVID. But I believe everyone's had it since November. So I think I've already had it. I don't go around with a mask or worried or anything because I believe I have some kind of natural immunity to it. So, I still work around a lot of different people that have had it. And the second, so if you could address that, and the second one I'll bring up and then you can just talk about it is, if they come out with a vaccine, I don't get the flu vaccine. I'm never going to get a shot. Either I'm never going to get one willingly without maybe firing a shot back first. So I'd like you to talk about a vaccine and the dangers thereof and the human fetal tissue they put in there and all the other goodies that if I'm going to get the flu, let me just get it naturally and fight it. But I'll never get a flu shot willingly. I may die trying, but... All right, we can talk about those. Thanks.
Okay, sure. Okay, well, let's do a couple of things. I think he just hung up, so I hope you're still listening. Let's start with your possible antibody status.
Yes.
We have our laboratory equipment is made by Roche Pharmaceuticals, which is a Swiss company, and they have probably the most sensitive antibody test that on planet Earth that has been tested. It says 100% sensitivity. So if you've got it, it will find it, but it's 99.6% specific. So if it says you've got it, there's only about 4 people out of 1,000 will get a false positive reading. Downside, we can't do it on our patients until late June, probably, or early July. And that's because while it's been approved, the company is selling its test kits, first of all, to governments around the world. So, you know, the Swiss and the Europeans are getting a bunch. The U.S. government's getting a bunch. We are third on the list. First come the governments, then come the big hospital organization, then comes folks like our clinic. So, we will be doing the test as a freebie for all of our patients whenever they get their other blood tests. Now, we don't draw it just for that because we don't have enough staff to do 1,500 of these all at once. But we, whenever we do our other laboratory panels, we will be doing your antibody test right along with it. In the meantime, if you really want one to find out if you are positive earlier, you have to go to your doctor, get them to give you an order, and LabCorp will run the test for you. LabCorp charges $50 for the test. At least that's what they charge us, and so we charge the patient the same thing that they charge us. We don't mark that up even a penny. And so, you know, if you do the LabCorp test, it is not quite as good. It's 99.4% specific as opposed to the 99.6% that the one we'll be doing in our lab is. Still pretty darn good. So you can get it checked. I had mine checked about a week ago.
Me too.
I thought sure I had had the virus. I did not. I am negative.
Me too.
So, yeah. So, you know, that's the way it is. So you might be right, but you might be wrong. I thought I was positive. I'm still negative.
He was also saying that while he's in contact with people, he's not wearing his mask because he thought he had the immunity.
Yeah, and I'm not sure you have. Latest numbers is that masks and / face coverings, that is almost all masks, even the homemade ones, seem to lower your risk of getting the virus by about 75%. So you don't have to have a fancy N95. A plain surgical mask or even a homemade should be two or three layers of fabric, two or three ply. But because the fewer plies of fabric, the less effective it is. But on average, about 75% reduction in your risk of getting the virus. So if you're out in public, you're around other people, wear the mask.
And with that in mind, I'm sorry, we got to go to a hard break, top of the hour ID.
We'll talk about the vaccines when we come back.
Yep.
Yes, indeed we will. So don't go far. We just got a top of the hour ID and I think about a minute or two of news. And we'll be back for the second hour here on 570 KVI. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, sponsored, of course, by Longevity Medical Clinics in Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. Go to lmclinic.com. Make your free health analysis appointment. You can do it right now, just like our last caller just did. Go online at lmclinic.com. We'll be right back for hour number 2.